For 4.5 years, I was privileged to live in Rome, and part of my residence was at the English College, the Venerable English College, given that title by the Pope because so many of the seminarians, the students, were martyred, and so the Pope graciously gave the term Venerable to the whole college, and it's known by its pet name as the Venerabile. In the church of the seminary, it is a church, not a chapel, we looked up at the reredos behind the altar, which had an amazing painting. And the painting was of Christ crucified on the cross, and from his wounds, his 5 wounds, blood was issuing, and blood was falling upon the world. And England was highlighted on the world, and the blood was falling upon that country. And to the other side of the painting was a door, an archway, and beyond the archway was a beautiful garden. And it was to symbolize the fact that the students would be going to martyrdom, and yet paradise awaited them when they walked through the archway of death. And that was a great inspiration for the students who were there. Indeed, the same students today who look at that reredos are the spiritual successors of those two who looked at the same reredos and gained strength to go back onto what was called the English mission and certain death. It was no easy journey. Remember, they had to go from Rome up to Milan, and then through possibly to Belgium, and then get a boat from Belgium, find a family who would look after them, and then minister to the Catholic community. And many of them were caught and suffered terrible imprisonment, suffered terrible torture. And when news reached Rome that one of the students had been executed for the faith, the whole college assembled in what is now called the Martyrs Chapel, and they all sang together the Te Deum to thank God for the way in which he had taken one of their number and had used them for his greater glory. Another one had walked through the archway into the garden of paradise. And I wonder, as we keep today's feast, how our hearts and minds shouldn't wander to those many, many thousands of our brothers and sisters who today suffer torment, agony, both physically and mentally, for their faith. And you don't have to travel very far to find that happening. Indeed, one could say that within this bailiwick of Guernsey, there would be people who are suffering for their faith. I have known and spoken to men and women who, by their simple stand as Catholic Christians, are persecuted within the home. And I don't mean over a few days or a few months, but for years they've suffered the criticism of going to Mass, of having to go to holy days of obligation. Why bother with saying the rosary? Why bother with all these church activities? And they suffer, and they suffer quietly. So today we remember them in our prayers. And finally, we look to ourselves. It makes us think how small our world is if we're not careful. When we think of the universal significance of these martyrs, we look at our own rather feeble stand from time to time, and how perhaps we stay in our comfort zone. Do we really suffer for our faith, for our life? What do we do? Well, these questions are important. And not everybody can leave family, friends, and home and go and be a seminarian or a religious or a missionary priest or whatever it may be. But some are called to do that. But nonetheless, all are called to witness to the faith. And whether we suffer as the English martyrs did, one thing we can be sure of is of their prayers. And so today we're asking their prayers for the church throughout the world, persecuted, that those who at this very minute are dying for the faith may walk through the archway of death and into the garden of paradise, being a faithful witness and welcomed by their heavenly Father as good and faithful servants.